Well, if you have your Bibles, open them with me to two portions of Scripture. First, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. And then we'll go to Psalm 112. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Sometimes you might feel that way. God's dealing with you and you're following, not knowing exactly where you're going, but the key word is obedience. Psalm 112, turn there with me, Psalm 112. Psalm 112, we'll read the entire psalm. It's a short psalm. Verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. And then, of course, you know, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19 says, if you be willing and what? Willing and what? Say it one more time. Obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Hallelujah. So I want to talk to you tonight about the rewards of obedience. The rewards of obedience. Actually, I preached a portion of this sermon before, but it's going to be new to you because I'm going to shout in different places. That's the key. Just shout in different places. Hallelujah. And so the rewards of obedience. Now notice here in Psalm 112 verse 1, the psalmist said, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man or the woman that feareth the Lord. Now notice this, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Everyone say delight greatly. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. One more time. Notice that, delights greatly in his commandment. We would say, who delights greatly in his word. Who delights greatly in his will. As a matter of fact, the Bible in basic English says, let the Lord be praised. Happy is the man who gives honor to the Lord and has great delight in his laws. Not just delight, but great delight in his laws. The contemporary English Bible said, shout praises to the Lord. The Lord blesses everyone who worships him and gladly obeys his teachings. Hallelujah. God wants you to have joy in responding to his word. Did you know that? And here the word commandment can mean several different things. And tonight I want to focus on three things, three areas of obedience that I want to talk to you about tonight. Obedience to God's written word. And obedience to God's spoken word, that is what he's telling you, what he's been telling you to do. And finally, obedience to what the Holy Spirit wants to do through you. So let's begin talking about obedience to God's written word. Now turn to Psalm 19. You're right there in Psalm 112. And remember that first verse that we read, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly, that delighteth greatly. That delighteth greatly in his commands. So we're talking about obedience and the rewards of obedience. You know, there are rewards associated with obeying God. That's a little weak. I said there are rewards associated with obedience. We don't like that word obey. Obey. That kind of falls in the same category as fasting, as tithing. And other things that we kind of, you know, we shy away from. Obedience is a positive thing, not a negative thing. It doesn't have to be a negative thing. I think we associate it because when children growing up, you know, our parents said, you need to obey. And, you know, we didn't want to obey. We wanted to go out and play, not obey. And so we wanted to do a lot of other things, and so we associate it with something negative. But when it comes to God and His Word, it's positive. Because when we obey His Word and delight greatly in His commandments, we place ourselves in a position to receive the benefits. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good. Well, to eat the good of the land means to wear the good, to drive the good, to live in the good, to have the good. The good of the land, not the bad, but the good of the land. All of God's blessings. All right, Psalm 19. So we're talking about obedience to the written word. Psalm 19, and this is a very familiar portion of Scripture. And I want to read verses 7 through 10. For the law of the Lord, we would say under the new covenant, God's word, His written word. The law of the Lord, or the word of God, is perfect. Hallelujah. Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes, the commandments of God, God's word, the statutes of the Lord are right. How many of you know that God is always right? He's never wrong. And if you follow His leading, His voice, and His word, you'll always be right. You'll never find yourself in error. You'll never find yourself in a place of dismay. You'll never find yourself in a place of lack or without if you follow the teachings of God's word and obey His commands. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. God's word enlightens your spiritual understanding. The psalmist said the entrance of God's word brings light or illumination. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Notice that. Than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. So he compares the word of God to gold and to honey, to wealth and to food, two things that we all value. If we would value God's word the way some people value food, or the way some people value wealth, we would be blessed above all people. Thank you for those three amens, two grunts, one groan. I want to read another version. Listen to this. The law of the Lord is perfect. It gives us new life. His teachings last forever. Now listen, they give wisdom to ordinary people. Aren't you glad? I'm glad that's in there because that applies to me. Wisdom to ordinary people. The Lord's instruction is right. It's right. It makes our hearts glad. His commands shine brightly. They give us light. Worshiping the Lord is sacred. He will always be worshiped. All of His decisions are correct and fair. Oh, I like that. All of God's decisions are correct and fair. They are worth more than the finest gold and are sweeter than honey from a honeycomb. You know, I like that scripture over in Acts chapter 17. You know that scripture we're talking about, obedience to the written word. You know, I don't know about you, but it takes all of my time and my effort to keep myself in line with God's word. I don't have any time to keep you in line. I spend all my time and my effort on me, keeping me in line, obeying the written word of God. You know, in Acts 17, 11, Paul said, you know, the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians in that they searched the scriptures daily to see whether or not what was taught was true. Oh, I like that. They searched the scriptures daily. The Bible in Basic English says, now these were more noble than the Jews of Thessalonica, for they gave serious attention to the word. Oh, I like that. Serious attention. You know, we give a lot of attention to a lot of things. And we'd be better off if we gave some serious attention to what the Bible says about a lot of things. Are you listening to me? Serious attention to the word, searching the holy writings every day to see if these things were so. You know, I hope after, you know, I minister or any of us minister that you would go home and open the Bible and rehearse those scriptures and read them and reread that information again and get it down on the inside. Not just listen and go out and say, wasn't that wonderful or that was so-so. If I'm preaching, whatever. You know, it's okay. And then not ever open the Bible to find out if what was preached is in the Bible. We ought to be students of God's word. The word becomes real and a part of you when you take it home with you and investigate it and study it and meditate on it. Because that's when it becomes a part of you. So we ought to delight greatly in the word of God. We ought to have an insatiable desire for God's word. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, it is written, man shall not live by pizza alone. That's a contemporary English version. No, it's not contemporary English. That's mine. Man shall not live by pizza alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know, we cannot skip over any of the commands and just choose the ones we like. You know, for example, like Matthew 5:44 that says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. How many of you have ever met someone you had a hard time loving? Put up your hand, don't look at your spouse. We have to obey every command. We can only expect to receive God's best in our lives if we give Him our best. And how do we do that? By agreeing with and acting on His word. Listen to this. The same value that you place on God's written word is the same value that you place on God Himself. Same value that you place. You cannot separate God's written word from Him, from God. This is the authoritative word of God. It is inspired. It comes directly from God. It is His word. The Bible is God speaking to me. The Bible is God speaking to you. It is God speaking to us. The same value that you place on this written word is the same value you have toward God. Let me prove that to you. Turn to Mark chapter 4 quickly. Mark chapter 4 verse 23. Jesus said, if any man have ears, how many of you got your ears on? If any man have ears, let him hear. Verse 24, I want to read this from the Amplified Version. Follow in the version that you have. Well, the King James says, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that shall hear shall more be given. Matthew or Mark 4:24. The Amplified says, the measure of thought and study that you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. Notice that. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear. That determines the return right there. The same value that you place on the written word of God is the same value that you have toward God Himself. You know, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause Paul said, we give praise to God that when the word came to your ears through us, you took it not as the word of man, but as it truly is the word of God. The word of God, which has living power in you who have faith. Not in everybody, just in those who have faith that believe it. It only has living power to those who believe it. Proverbs chapter 4, you know the scripture. My son, attend to my words, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. That means put my words first. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from before thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart for their life unto those that find them. Hell to all their flesh. That's God's word. You know you can get healed reading the Bible. You know you can get healed quoting scripture. You can get healed meditating on God's word. Do you know that? There's healing power, delivering power in the Word of God. Notice he said, life unto those that find them. That's a key word. That means they were looking for them. I said that means they are looking for them. People do not just stumble into the blessings and provision of God. I said, they do not just stumble into the blessing or the provision. There's a reason, there's a cause that people are blessed, because they are searching the scriptures daily, because they are seeking, because they are finding the place where it is written. I love that scripture in Luke. Jesus took the prophet Isaiah and got up and he found the place wherein it was written. When you find the place where it is written concerning your need, that's when you'll receive. He found the place where it was written. Hallelujah. No, people do not just stumble into the blessings and provision of God. You have to search the scriptures daily. You have to study to show yourself approved. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. He is a rewarder. So we have to obey the written word. Number two, secondly, we have to have obedience to God's spoken word. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. We read this earlier. Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm just preaching at you a little tonight, if that's okay. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. If I can't inspire you, at least I'll inspire myself. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. What's that next word? What is it? What is it? Everybody say it. Now notice here, when Abraham went out, he obeyed. He went out not knowing whither he went. You know, God will never tell you everything all at once concerning his plan for your life. Do you know that? He's never going to tell you everything, because if he told you everything, number one, you wouldn't believe it. Number two, you'd be in fear. Number three, it wouldn't be faith on your part. He's not going to tell you everything. Abraham went out. He obeyed not knowing. He obeyed not knowing. He obeyed not knowing. He obeyed not knowing everything. In Acts chapter 20, verse 22, write this down. And now behold, Paul said, behold, I go bound or compelled by the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me. He said, the Holy Ghost is compelling me. The Holy Ghost is moving me. All I know is I got a strong urge. I got a strong witness. I got a strong desire to go to Jerusalem, but I don't know what's going to happen when I get there. I just know I got to go. Acts chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. While Peter thought on the vision, he's up on the housetop praying. While he thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, nothing doubting, for I have sent them. The Spirit said, go down, follow them, and don't doubt what I told you. Just act on it. Just obey what I'm telling you to do. He didn't know everything. What is God saying to your spirit right now? What is he saying to you now? I'm not talking about 15 years ago. He may have been saying something that you didn't obey. What's he been saying to you now? By faith, Abraham obeyed. A man of faith, a woman of faith will always obey God. I said a man of faith and a woman of faith will always obey God. What has God been saying to your heart? How many of you know that God still speaks to people today? Do you know that? Matter of fact, in John chapter 16 and verse 13, the Bible tells us when the Holy Spirit is come, he'll not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. In Romans 8:14, the Bible tells us, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know, God still speaks to his children today through the inner witness, through the still small voice, through the voice of the Holy Spirit. But are we listening? When we hear, will we obey? Look at Hebrews 4:7. Turn there quickly. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 7. What is he saying to you? What is the Holy Ghost saying to you now? Hebrews 4:7. Again, he limited a certain day, saying to David, today, what's the Holy Ghost saying to you today? Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you hear his voice. What is he saying to you today? Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Harden not your hearts. One version says, if you hear his voice today, don't be stubborn. Don't be stubborn. What's he saying to you today? See, you have to obey. You have to act on that. God's not going to twist your arm. He's not going to force you or make you do anything. He never will. He is a perfect gentleman. But he will talk to you. He will urge you. He will compel you. He'll speak to your spirit. But it's up to you to obey. What are you going to do? What has God been saying to you? You know, I think about the rewards of listening and obeying God's voice in my own life. And every one of us could have a testimony. I think about those times, you know, when God was dealing with me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I mean the moment, you know, he began dealing with me. Oh, I had plenty of opportunities that came to me to resist that. I mean, I had all kinds of advice. And I'm so glad that I listened and obeyed and pressed through the doubt and unbelief and pressed through all the criticism and everything else to experience that experience, the baptism with the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad that God got me involved with a group of people like you. Praise His holy name. I'm so glad that I listened and obeyed. When we obey, we move forward in the things of God. We always come to a critical juncture in our life where God is speaking to us. What are you going to do with my word? What are you going to do with what I told you to do? And at that moment, we have to make a decision. Are we going to obey? When we do, we move forward into the plan of God. It always pays to obey. What is the Holy Ghost saying to you? What has He been saying? What is God dealing with you about? All I know is God is always right. Now you might be thinking, well, you know, I know God wants me to do something, but it doesn't seem like much. You know, that statement has kept people from obeying God. It just doesn't seem like much. It seems so small and so insignificant. Listen, big doors open on little hinges. Obey and let God begin to work in your life. Are you obeying His voice today? We read Isaiah 1:19. If you are obedient, willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. You know, I know this, that sometimes God will deal with a person and deal with a person and deal with a person, and it just seems like He backs off. He doesn't go away. But it just seems like He backs off because that person is stubborn and refuses to move forward with God. Don't be stubborn. As the psalmist said, don't be like the mule or the horse that has to have a bit in its mouth and a bridle. Don't be like that. No. If God is dealing with you about something, it's not for your detriment, it's for your good. He's never taking away, He's always adding to. He is never trying to get you in a position that your life is ruined. He's trying to get you in a position that your life can be blessed. And if you stay and live in the natural or the emotional or mental realm, you can talk yourself out of what God is wanting you to do. Now, finally tonight, I want to look at this. Not only obedience to God's written word, not only obedience to His spoken word, what the Holy Ghost is saying to you, but finally, obedience to what the Holy Spirit wants to do through you. What's He want to do through you? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, turn over there with me quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. Many things He wants to do through you. I just want to focus on one. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11. He's talking about all these manifestations of the Holy Spirit. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man. Dividing to every man severally as He wills. You know, He's looking for people to manifest Himself through. He wants to divide a manifestation or an operation of the Holy Spirit through every willing vessel. Not just certain ones, every willing vessel. Thank God. You know, we're Pentecostal. That means we believe in the supernatural. And the supernatural, or an awareness of the supernatural dimension, should be normal for the Christian. Not abnormal. It should be normal. You know, it's interesting, in Acts 19:11, we quote that quite often, you know, that God wrought special miracles. Did you ever look at that? Not just miracles, special miracles. Matter of fact, one individual said this, that word literally means not common or ordinary. Not common or ordinary. Now think about that. Evidently the supernatural was so much a part of the early church's daily experience that some miracles needed to be classified as not common. Think about that. Think about today, if we have one, we're all surprised. In the early church, they had to classify them as common and uncommon. Special merit, not just miracles, special ones. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:1. Paul said, follow after love and desire that you can go home from church early. Oh, I'm sorry. Follow after love and desire what? Desire what? He's writing to the church, not just one member of the church at Corinth. He's writing to the entire church. He said, for the entire church to desire spiritual gifts. desire spiritual realities, desire spiritual manifestations. My question to you is, are you obeying this? Are you desiring? Not just for yourself, but for the benefit of the body of Christ, for the benefit of the church. So when are we going to obey what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do through us? Turn back to Psalm 112. I'm going to wrap it up by looking at the rewards of obedience. Don't get excited, I have a long conclusion. Psalm 112, notice here, several things listed. I know this is written in the book of Psalms, but all of these issues apply to us today. We have a better covenant established on better promises, so what we read here is better for us today. Psalm 112. We're talking about the rewards of obedience. Everybody say obey.
Obey.
Say it again.
Obey.
One more time.
Obey.
Psalm 112. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man or woman that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commands. We just talked about that, didn't we? That one verse. Obeying the written word. Obeying the spoken word. Obeying what the Holy Ghost wants to do through you. Now notice, let's look at some of the rewards. Notice verse 2. His seed. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Notice, not in heaven. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. That's speaking about you and your family, your children, your relatives. He said, if you live to obey me, your children will be mighty, not just in heaven, but in the earth. Say this with me. My seed shall be mighty upon the earth. My children shall be mighty upon the earth. That's speaking to you. Look at verse 3. Wealth and riches. We're talking about obeying God. Wealth and riches. No, God's not against wealth or riches. He's only against covetousness. He's only against idolatry. He's not against you having things. He's against things having you above Him. Are you listening to me? Wealth and riches shall be in your house. Not your neighbor. Thank God you want to bless your neighbor, but this is your house. Your house. Wealth and riches shall be in your house, and your righteousness endureth forever. These are the rewards of obedience. If you obey God, He said you have a right to believe for God's wealth and riches in your home. Hallelujah. Verse 4, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. So to those who obey and delight greatly in His commands, just because you're a believer, you're not immune to problems. We heard a great message by that on Sunday. You're not immune to problems, but when you obey God in the midst of your darkness, He will bring forth light. He will bring forth light. The entrance of God's word will show you the direction to get out. Hallelujah. Many are the temptations of the righteous, but He will deliver you out of them all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 5. Notice, a good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. We ought to be in a position to be givers. All of us. To be givers. To have enough to meet our needs and to lend to others. You know, that's what God wants you to do. God wants you to be the lender, not just the borrower. We ought to be able to lend and be givers. Verse 6, surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. Listen, when you obey God's word, I don't care what comes your way, you will not be moved. You will not be moved. Verse 7, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. I want to read God's word translation to you of these verses. Hallelujah. Blessed is the person who fears the Lord and is happy to obey His commands. His descendants, listen, will grow strong on the earth. The family of a decent person will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his home. His righteousness continues forever. Light will shine in the dark for a decent person. He is merciful, compassionate, and fair. All goes well for the person who is generous and lends willingly. He earns an honest living. He will never fail. A righteous person will always be blessed in all that he does. Hallelujah. He will not be afraid of bad news. His heart remains secure, full of confidence in the Lord. His heart is steady. He is not afraid. In the end, he will look triumphantly at his enemies. He gives freely to poor people. His righteousness continues forever. His head is raised in honor. Stand up with me. Now, I don't know what God's been dealing with you about, what God's been saying to you or urging you to do. But there are great rewards to those who obey him. Great rewards. Obey his written word. Obey his spoken word. What's he saying to your heart? Obey what the Holy Ghost wants to do through you. Hallelujah. Great, great rewards. We just read a sample list of what God wants to do for you. Amen.